Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Back another week, new season. Back with Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Grizzly Prep Blues. I am the one, P Shark,
and I am at Bane Balling. I'm just playing. Underscore got late on Twitter this time.
What's good, everybody? This is your guy Trevor reporting live from Dilla Brooks Island. And ain't many of us here, but we still here. What's good, everybody?
Yeah, so you're not forwarding your mail yet there, Trevor. but it's really shitty. I don't really have nothing else to go with, but I'm going to keep it that way.
I thought Trevor was about to hit us with the Yo Gotti reporting live from the kitchen, but you know. But yeah, as y'all already know, we recapped the previous week and predict the upcoming week. So we talked about last week, the Grizzlies did have another 2-1 week. I think it was me, Trev, and Shidi on last week. All of us predicted 2-1. I think me and Shidi predicted us lose Sacramento. Trevor ended up being right. You predicted Utah. So Trev is the winner for last week for the most accurate prediction.
I'll take it.
Although all of us did the same exact 2-1 record. But I did go to the Brooklyn game, of course. So as I said on after that game, started five podcasts. I 2-0 in games attended. Skyler, they won opening night when we went to New York. I won. They won when I went to the rookie game. So we are 2-0. They won that one 134-124 in a historic game. I did the game preview before that one. Said I expect Desmond Bane to get back on track, and get back on track he did indeed, and continue throughout the rest of the week, scoring I think at least 30 in every game. Sacramento, and he had 28 in that one. So Desmond Bane is back and better than ever. But they did beat Brooklyn 134-124. Beat Sacramento 125-110 in the game. Ja played with the illness. Then he actually missed the Utah game with the illness, and they lost that one by 1 point at the very end. A lot of defensive lapses in the fourth quarter. But what are y'all thoughts about each game for the this past week?
Well, let's start with the Brooklyn game. I think, if nothing else, I think we all can be very pleased with that one too. Say what you want about Brooklyn. At the end of the day, that is still Kyrie Irving. That's still Kevin Durant. And so to beat Brooklyn in the fashion that you did, in my opinion, was solid. Desmond Bane, Jesus Christ, like I think he looked amazing. Everybody from Santi Aldama to Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones, everyone up and down their roster had a really, really good game. And so you take that W, then you go and you play Sacramento in a game that everybody definitely said, be on the lookout for that one, because Sacramento was definitely looking for their first win. I think that was one of Memphis's, I think that was definitely a road game for them. It was a late tip and still was able to kind of come back and get that W. So that puts you to enough to kind of start the week. And then you go in Utah, and in my opinion, that's probably the most impressive game of the week for me. Granted that they lost, but I'm one of those people that if you lost, how do you look in your losses? And I didn't start watching the game until I think like 5:50 left in the third quarter. And it was a legit back and forth game from that moment on. And so to see Ja Morant kind of be in and out of the lineup with his sickness, and then to see, I think Salty was out, Jake LaRavia was out in the game as well too. And so you had everybody step up from Dillon Brooks Island, those people came out of the woodworks. You had Tyus Jones was balling. BC is right now leading. He's like third in the league with 3-point field goals made with 25. He's balling. David Roddy was balling in the game. So I just think it was so impressive that everybody stepped in some shape or form to essentially take it down to the wire against a Utah team who, again, surprising some to some. But I think they've gotten off to a good start as well, too. So in my opinion, you call it 2-1 and say it's an okay week. But again, the one game that I'm really circling and looking at and say, yeah, I'm going to take a lot out of away from that game is the game where you had a lot of your bench role, your bench guys or your role players play quite a bit, a few minutes and almost essentially take down Utah in a close game. Taylor Jenkins, in my opinion, looked really well. He set up his team a lot to kind of get them scores or buckets out of timeouts. I mean, really, really good week, in my opinion. I'm hoping that in some form or fashion, Ja may play or even Tossie may play in the next game tomorrow. But I was really, really impressed with the coaching staff to everybody on the roster.
The Ville is back. That's all I got to say. The grind sign made its way back into the lineup. And as you can see, as Taylor Jenkins described him as being as the heart and soul of this team, you see the extra pep in your step that you got from this team once he made his way back in the lineup. To Skylar's point, a game against Brooklyn, it's Kevin Durant, it's Kyrie Irving. Probably one of the best games that I've watched this week just from an entertainment standpoint. All-Star Bane, I think that's going to be the title of this episode at some point in fashion, so I'm getting that started right now for this hashtag for these All-Star votes, so you know that's the whole deal there. The game against Sacramento, I figured it was a game that we – could possibly lose because they were well coached, but watching that game, it still seems as though Mike Brown's still trying to figure some things out, because for every run that Sacramento went on to kind of close the gap, just like that, Memphis was able to withstand it and push the lead back up to double digits or something of that nature. So kudos to the Grizz there. Again, what Skylar just mentioned about the game against Utah, you essentially have most of your guys out and you still went out and competed. And you came literally within a possession of actually taking down Utah, who's been surprising a lot of people throughout this season. So you take a 2-1 week, especially the week that that everyone has had. This happened, of course, also when the Grizzlies beat Phoenix last season with essentially everybody out of the lineup. So, but 2-1 week, you would definitely take it, and we'll just hope that our guys get healthy, Ja gets healthy, and Jake LaRavia gets healthy to make his way back in the lineup, maybe to play tomorrow against Utah in his next home game or just the games coming forward.
Yeah, starting off with Brooklyn, man, Ja and the Grizzlies really step up with this team. I even think like last year we gave the Nets that work as well. And Kyrie was a part of that team as well that came even to Memphis. But like for honest to goodness truth, there's something about Ja when he plays the level of talent, kind of like steps up or elevates his skill. And Desmond Bane is getting there as well. We all talked about how he would get out of his slump. Brooklyn came to town. He got out of his slump. And to the point that's already been made, 33 straight 30-plus point performances. You're saying All-Star Bane. I'm going to add on to that All-Star Bane, and I'm saying that the MIP trophy is going to stay in Memphis because they kind of got it wrong last year, but we'll take it. But we'll take the MIP this year for sure with Desmond Bane. And then go to the Sacramento, and I'm one of the people that has definitely Sacramento being a stronger contest as previous years. And to your point, Trevor, I think, you know, he's still trying to figure it all out with the players that he has or whatever. But that team is not a team that is rolling over like they used to, and definitely a stronger opponent. The Utah Jazz game. The Utah Jazz are filled with players that have absolutely nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. And what Danny Ainge, to me, is doing is what I've always preached. Trade these players with their highest value to get some picks. So I think what Utah is doing, I wish we would kind of do with Dylan Brooks. I don't care how well he did with this last game. But eventually I would like to see some type of trade for Dylan Brooks so we can get something back in return. But I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the game itself against Utah. Again, Skylar pointed out, and Trevor maybe as well, that we were without starters, of course, rotational players. And also, I hope we don't beat a dead horse in regards to how that kind of like last possession went, whether Coach Jenkins should have called a timeout for the fast break or not. You live and die with that. Whether it was in the call of the game, right? Your instinct, coaching instinct, is to get the rebound, call a timeout. It's not to just let it play out and see what happens. And so, yeah, they may have made the layup. They may not have. But either way, you're going to be in the doghouse as the coach, whether it's a good call or bad call. But I think the right call was made. We just want to execute better. Desmond Bain doesn't slip on the floor. Who knows what actually happens from there. But, you know, we have our rebound game against them on Monday when there, but the Utah game, Utah Jazz are no slouches. Sacramento, it's even the first 10 games of the season, man. These teams are really here to play and prove some things. But so are the Memphis Grizzlies, and we're doing well even without Ja, the two cornerstones of our franchise, so to speak, Ja and Jaren. Still putting out some great efforts. So shout out to the coaching staff, but also really shout out to the GM for constructing the team the way it is and believing the players that we probably didn't in the beginning.
Yep, and I totally agree with you about the end of the Utah game. I think originally I showed a tweet that I was like, he probably should not have called a timeout, but I also said hindsight is 2020 after they happened. So, like she said, you're an actual basketball coach, so you would know your instinct just called a timeout, right? So, it wasn't no complaints from me about that one. Taylor Jenkins also had a good week with his rotations. After last week, I did call him out a little bit last week. It was like, I wish he would not play Tillman and Clark together, you know, do stuff like that. He went to like 9-man rotation one game, I think, against Brooklyn. He played Tillman again yesterday, but it was him and Clark wasn't really on the floor together. It was more small lineup. So he started to make those adjustments. So Taylor Jenkins is still improving, like continuously, just like the team every game. Actually, Bane did have 30. I did say I thought he had 28 against Sacramento. He had 31. So he did have three straight 30-point games. So he averaged 33.7 points per game last week on 60% shooting from three, 17 to 28 from three. That's what he shot in those three games. So, he came from a slump to best shooting guard in the NBA in a week's time.
So, talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Basically what he did last
week. Talk to him. No.
Which game was that he snatched somebody's ankles? I think it was Sacramento. He snatched.
That was a Sacramento game, and I was just like, let's not be disrespectful right now. That is just disrespectful, Desmond. I'm sorry. That is disrespectful.
He's definitely improving out here. But going back to the Brooklyn game, being there saying that, like you said, KD, Kyrie, Jai and Bane outdo them. 38 points apiece versus 37 points apiece for KD and Kyrie. That's what you call like a superstar game. And Jai, you already figured he was going to show up, but Bane showed up to the party too. So, hey, Bane continue on. I doubt he's averaged 30 points the rest of the season, but that man gets – he's 24 points a game average – all together, if he stays there, that lets you know everything we need to know about him coming up this season. He's definitely the new Klay Thompson coming up here around here. So we got a new Stephen Klay out here in Memphis, it feels like. But I won't put too much pressure on him, but I will at the same time. Going to the next game, Sacramento, like you said, Ja had a little illness, and he still had, 20 to 22 points in the game. I think he scored at least 34 in the first three games. So, yeah, it was a step back, right? but he still was Ja Morant. He still made some plays when he had to. But Desmond Bane stepping up in that game was huge. Like Trevor said, Dylan coming back was huge last week. You did need his intensity. The first game against Brooklyn, I ain't going to lie. I was sitting there live. Hey, we won him out the game. I ain't going to care. But, you know, first game back, and, of course, he's going to do Dylan things. So, Jekyll and Hyde is what you deal with him. He did get better as the week went along, got better in the Sacramento game, and really did well against Utah. Sarah DSC helped Bane out. He had 30 himself on 12 or 20 shooting, 60% his own self. That's a very efficient game for Dylan Brooks. And he also had four assists, which he said he wanted to try Everest this year, and he finally got to it. So I have no complaints about Dylan, man. Good job.
I will say this on Dylan Brooks as far as the Brooklyn game. I will take the 2 of 13, but he also was a +7 in that game as well. Like, he did have some key plays down the stretch that you're just not going to show up on the stat sheet. Well, the one assist to Desmond Bain, and then the stop. Then the extra pass to Desmond Bain for the three, and then forcing the offensive foul on Kevin Durant, which eventually led to Ja Morant putting the game away. So I take the 2 for 13 if you're doing everything else. You know, it was a +7. Sacramento game, he was the only person that didn't have a positive plus minus, but he did hit some shots down the stretch to help push the game away towards Memphis' favor. And then we just talked about his 30-point game against Utah. But, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, he's what makes this team go. So Ja is Ja, don't get me wrong, but Dylan is that emotional leader that's like, if Memphis is slacking, he's going to try to bring it some kind of way, whether it's to the benefit or detriment of the Grizzlies, he's going to bring it.
And I think he does that when he's in the flow of the offense. To your point, like, he went 2-13 against the Nets. He didn't do efficiently well against the Kings, but I think majority of his shots, whether they went in or, you know, it was a miss, it was within the offense. It's with him, you know, taking a wide open jumper. If he misses, then he misses. That's part of the game. But, like, again, what I've seen from him thus far, that's what I would like to continue to see. And I think not even just from a fan, but, like, probably a player perspective as well, is you kind of, like, I'm hoping at some point he realizes, I don't have to score 20. I don't have to score 25. Maybe me scoring 10 to 12, maybe 14, and then giving my all on defense is what's best for me. And I think the more he continues to see that and recognize and accept that, then I think not only can he continue to help this team go far, but I think as a team, they can probably go even deeper in the playoffs as well too.
Yeah, it's good to have the capability to go off for 20, but I think, to your point, once he realized that the game now is going to be a lot easier for him on the offensive end, to where he doesn't have to do so much, like, bro, just sit open on the wing, hit the wide open three. They're going to pay attention to Desmond Bane. Job makes a move, they're going to collapse on him. You're going to get a lot of open shots. Like, there is no need to try to force the issue here. Just hit your open shots, get out in transition, get you some easy ones, play your butt off on defense. That's all we really ask for. That's all I really ask for, honestly. Just do it within the flow of the offense, because when you do it within the flow of the offense, you're usually successful. When you're trying to do everything else is where I just have to put my hand over my head and just shake my head. So it is what it is with them. So.
Yeah, Cap, before I go, I don't know if you finished up what you were going to say before I go.
No, you can go. Yeah.
Just a quick feedback about the Utah Jazz game that I wish we would have tinkered with a little bit more towards the end of the game, even thinking about the third quarter, was Desmond, and I'm going to mention this player again, the Tyus Jones and Dylan Brooks. Tyus was guarding Colin Sexton, and Dylan Brooks was guarding Clarkson. Clarkson is more of a shooter, which I would have liked Tyus to be on more or less, where Colin is more the driver, so you want more of a stronger body on him. I would like to see that switch. And also, Tyus Jones, we haven't mentioned yet, float on. My guy was hitting the floaters in Utah, and I think he goes without being said, keeping us in the game as well, because he was hitting some timely shots for us that needed to be hit. I can't remember the span of time that went by, but he definitely had, I mean, double digits for sure, but I feel like it was like 13 of like our 18 or 20 points within a stretch of time. So Tyus was a great sign. Again, going back to our GM and our front office staff, we needed Tyus. This is the reasons why you need Tyus, is when your superstar is hurt or down, Tyus is more than capable to not even just run the offense, but run the offense efficiently and effectively at the same time.
And Tyus is also, he's averaging 13.5 points a game and almost 5 assists off the bench this year. Sixth man of the year incoming, you think? He might be on his way. I do have a criticism for the finish of my point, the Utah game. just better effort on defense. In that fourth quarter, like, I saw like a straight open three out the open three out the open three. I understand they were shorthanded, but that don't have that has nothing to do with your effort, right? They could have. It was one play specifically. I saw the video. Kelon Nynick, they drove defense left. They gave it out to him. Tyus Jones specifically, he just looked. He didn't even try to contest. He just like looked like, hey, I just hope he missed. Like, no, nah, they wasn't missing. Or at the very least, don't collapse and just, or don't collapse. I much rather you give up two than three. And to me, that's how they end up losing the game. But I think they're gonna look at the film and they're gonna correct it coming up in this next matchup with Utah.
Yeah, and I think part of that is just because I hear you, Sharkin, when you say you will want better effort, but I think part of that is just a communication issue that they have. Because if you look at the lineup that was closing, I was just like, Jesus Christ, I'm not even sure if I've seen this lineup before. So they probably hadn't even run with that lineup before. So that's probably all it is. It's just it's a communication issue because they haven't played much with each other, especially to close out a game.
Yep, true. Yep, definitely agree with that one. But yeah, like I said, that's minor and one nothing like just super huge. That's something they're going, like last season, they started the first 20 games. They were horrible on defense, then they turned it around. So, all right, Taylor Jenkins going they're going to get turned around. I'm not worried about that. Especially when Triple J come back. And Zaire Williams, was who I want to transition to. He's officially out 4 to 6 weeks now. You know, before it was, we just knew he was out. We didn't know how long. He about to be out long in Triple J now. So, I guess real quick, probably ain't much, but what y'all think of what the team, really how important Dylan Brooks is now, John Conchar, but what y'all think about the team coming forward without Zaire now, knowing he's going to be out for a extended period of time? What y'all think of the prospects of the team without him?
Definitely some pros and cons without having him in the lineup. I think you miss him from a defensive standpoint. Again, just you look at him and you're like, man, like that wingspan is ridiculously long. And so I think in some form or fashion, you're going to miss that. He definitely helped the Grizzlies close out some games last year. So you're definitely, again, missing that experience. But at the same time, it's allowing Jake LaRavia to get his feet wet. It's allowing David Ryder to get his feet wet. It's allowing other people that normally wouldn't probably get minutes right around this time, even though it's early. It's allowing those people to get used to the league, get used to the how fast-paced the league is. So at the end of the day, granted, right now it hurts, but I think when it all boils down to as you ending out the regular season, as you kind of getting ready for the postseason, and you may have nicks and bruises on people here and there, you can rely on games early in the season where Jake LaRavia not only made threes, but actually can play some defense. And I know that's one thing that I was that I was like, I don't know if he'll be able to play some defense in this league. Again, you've been able to see that David Roddy definitely stepped up in a huge way against the Kings. So again, that's where if he was healthy right now, they wouldn't be getting the clock that they're getting. But again, it's kind of a good thing right now. So you're missing it from a defensive standpoint, but you look long term, I think it'll help them for sure.
Yeah, it's really a catch 22, man. You're going to miss him because of his athleticism and his ability to defend. And let's just keep it a buck, his ability to hit open shots at a decent clip as well. So you're definitely going to miss that, but it's also a great problem to have it on the other end because it's giving your young guys time to get acclimated to the NBA. David Roddy is now starting to come along. Jake LaRavia looked like he can be a key rotational piece come playoff time if it boiled down to it. So in the end, yeah, he's going to be missed, but I think it's giving these young guys this next man up mentality. So, and that's a good problem that you want to have going forward, especially with a team like the Grizzlies at this point. So, yeah, I'll miss him. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not going to just use this just to big up Dylan Brooks or anything, because now it shows his value just a tad bit. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it just gives the young guys a chance to get acclimated to the NBA. And they'll have an opportunity to be in the position he was in last season, that Zaire was in last season, probably playing some big-time playoff minutes and could possibly contribute. So
today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Yeah, if I that was exactly where I was going with my comments as well, Trevor's like, you know, Zaire was in this position last year, right? Dylan Brooks being out, him starting with 20-something games, south of 25, like 28 games, something like that, and gave him the experience that we now miss, right? And so now, to the point that everyone's already said, next man up, who's going to be that guy to fill that void, so to speak, so we're okay. Shout out to Big John, because he's there. Big John, Aiden, big John is there in the Grizz gang. So they're going to hold it down, man. You know what I mean? POP, MEM, hold it down.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like I said, they've been holding it down. He hasn't played the season. So it's not like it's not like they truly like miss somebody who has been there. But going forward, it's just, I think I hate that it hurts. Like, it kind of stunts his development some a little bit. That's probably why I'm thinking more of it. Even same thing with Triple J, both of them just being out. But once they get back, I mean, it's just your luxury of having the rookies, Jake LaRavia and David Roddy getting all this experience, Santi Aldama getting all this playing time, John Conchar. It just helps your depth even more. And this team just finds a way. They've done it for three years now, right? So, like, it's hard to question anything they do. It's like they just continuously find a way, prove everyone wrong, and they just going to continue doing it. So, hey, I'm down for whatever comes up this next month. But coming up this next week, though, we have four games coming up, and that will complete our initial podcast when we had predicted the first 10 games. We'll see who was more accurate in their predictions. I think most of us predicted about 7-3. I think it was between 6-4 to 8-2 between all five of us. So we all are still in the realm of possibility of that, as Grizz now sit at 4-2 for the next four games at Utah again. Man, it got to be a boring trip to have to be there over the weekend. Goodness, another folks struggling over there. but it should help them stay focused.
I don't know who's struggling more, them or the Clippers, because the Clippers had to do the same thing in Oklahoma City. So,
And there ain't nothing in Oklahoma, boy. Jesus. But the sooner.
That in the first 48 episode, ex Tulsa.
they come in versus about first 48, I tell you, man. They play at Portland Wednesday. Dame Lillard will probably be out. They said he'll be out 1 to 2 weeks. So he'll probably be out for the game. But we got new Grizz killer Anthony Simons to worry about. But we'll see what happens. And Justice Winslow, revenge. He's been playing well. Yeah, he ain't been healthy lately, ironically. But we play return home, play the Charlotte Hornets Friday. And we play the Washington Wizards next Sunday before we have a back-to-back. But we record right after that game before we play Boston that Monday at home. But who y'all got? What y'all got? I record being for these next four games.
Give me 2-2. And if we go 2-2, I think that'll kind of put me in my 6-4-ish start for the season. I'm just a little bit concerned about the injury report. Ja is out with the flu. That's nothing to sneeze at. Salty is out. I'm not sure what's the latest on Jake LaRavia. And so those are three key guys that we honestly think none of us are quite sure if they'll play the next game. So because I'm not sure of that, I think I'll just go 2-2. So actually I think they lose against Utah. I think they lose against Portland, but I'll take a dub against the Hornets and the Wiz.
Oh, Santi's playing. He's nothing. He's on the report. But Jai and Jake LaRavia are now questionable for the Jazz game. They were out.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, they might play. We'll see.
All right. So I need for the Grizz to be on track for my 7-3 prediction. I need them to go 3-1 this week. And I actually think that actually happens. I think they avenged the loss on last night. So I think they get the win in Utah. Historically, the Grizzlies have not played well in Portland over these past couple of years, but I think Dame being out may be just a little help for Memphis. So I think Memphis gets that win there. And then they have a home and home. They'll split that home and home. I have them losing, believe it or not, to the Hornets at home, and then they bounce back against the Wizards.
Gotcha. I think I'm the one that's 6-4. But for this week, man, give me 3-1. I think, again, the loss against Utah gets avenged on Monday. And then I think Portland does beat us, unfortunately. And we lose that one, but then we take care of business the next two at home against Charlito and Washington. So give me 3-1. Anthony Simons, man, and it's something about Portland, man. Portland always has that one person, preferably a shooting guard or a guard, that tends to give us a little bit of a fit. And CJ McCollum is now with the Pelicans and still kind of giving us fits. But Anthony Simons has kind of stepped into that role in Portland, Dame or no Dame. So, again, give me 3-1 for this week.
Man, I like the confidence, man. 3-1 is cool. Give me 4-0. They ain't got no back-to-backs. You tell me they got a rest between every single game, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Oh, they about to run through this. it won't be easy. I ain't about to, like, they about to blow everybody out. But I predict 7-3. They'll be 8-2 if they come in my new prediction. So give me 8. Give me gone. Give me 4-0. I do think the Jazz, they're going to avenge their loss. I think Ja going to make sure he play this next game. He's not about to lose that one. He about to play through whatever illness he got to win that one. Portland, that's the one that kind of scared me the most. But I think with the way Bane playing, I don't think he's slowing down anytime soon. And he's going to be the eliminator of Anthony Simons. So both of them are wash. There's no Dame. Ja is going to be the one who takes him over the top. Charlotte, that one do. They return home. I can see that one as a potential. Charlotte do kind of hit lights out on us from time to time in Memphis. But they're going to find a way to pull it off. And Sunday against Washington, that would kind of depend which one they care about. Do they rest people that day so they get ready for Boston Monday? Or do they go out for Washington and rest people Monday against Boston? So we'll see kind of. But the game is at home. It's a back-to-back home game, not back-to-back road game. So having the back-to-back at home is a little easier than me on the road. So don't give me 4-0. Hopefully I ain't wrong tonight after the very first game.
It's the look on your face as you were saying the 4-0.
Right. I didn't feel the confidence, Cap. I didn't feel it. Oh,
nah, that's confidence. I believe they're going 4-0, dog. That's confidence. They're going 4-0. I just know, no, things don't ever go the way I say. All right, man. That does it for the show, y'all. As y'all always know, remember, follow us on Twitter at the Starting Five, the number 5 MEM. Follow the Greasy Bear Blues, SBN Grizzlies. And check out the articles at Greasy Bear Blues, as I will be dropping the game preview for the Utah game on Monday. Also, check out the other podcasts on the network, GBP Live, Core 4 Podcast, Nick Grizz Next Gen, and the Greasy Bear Bets, who is really doing really well on all his game day bets so far this season. And as always, you know, you can follow me on Twitter at the one, DAONE _ P Shark.
I am at SKYLIT. I almost messed up my whole name.
Yeah, I'm at the Art of Trevor on Twitter. Of is a preposition, so don't capitalize it. Check out my league pass Trevor notes, hashtag All-Star Bane.
All right, fellas, and that's really shitty, man. Hey, don't forget, it's still Big John and the Grizz Gang.
Yes, sir. Also, follow our fifth member, at Telf Shakir, the big man in the paint, holding it down. POP, as she just said earlier.
Hashtag the mic.
Yes, sir. Till next time.
Agrees. BB10.